we can go into the realm of animated movies. I mean, we could keep this really short. DC wins.
Oh yeah, just on quantity and quality.
Yeah, and this is not one of those cases where it's like with the live action. DC has the top shelf stuff. It's Marvel who has the bottom crap.
Well, it's not even that Marvel just hasn't put out a whole lot yet.
They haven't, but even the stuff they have put out isn't that great.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I haven't seen all of these, but I saw Planet Hulk and really was kind of
Planet Hulk is good. Hulk versus
I was very underwhelmed by Planet Hulk.
I guess because I didn't read the comic book, I don't know what's missing.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like I thought the writing was pretty decent. I thought the animation wasn't that great. It was very like flat and kind of washed out.
I don't think Marvel, like none of their animation really is that great. Yeah. And I think it's because they always go with such a cheap company.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to get better as they go forward because they have Disney backing them. Whereas DC always had Warner, which has this huge movie studio behind him.
They have a lot of good, like, designers working for them. Like, they had Prince Tim on the animated series who just transitioned into the movies then.
Yeah. Where, like Ultimate, I enjoyed Ultimate Avengers. And then Ultimate Avengers 2 came out, and it came out like 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And it's the same movie set in Africa. Like, it's the same enemies. It's the same Hulk going crazy and them having to stop him.
I mean, they didn't do it all off the Ultimates 2 series?
No. I was reading the comics, because, I mean, technically it's based off of it, but
Mark Millar books that I liked. I should bring that up as well, too, actually. I like the Ultimates.
I did not like the Ultimates. It's one of the few comic series I have stopped reading before finishing. There's just the Hulk was like the repressed sexual anger of Bruce Banner. There's like the scene where Wasp flashes him and he's like chasing her down horny throughout Manhattan.
That's hilarious.
Thor's like some hippie in Europe. I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not finishing this. This is crap.
The only Ultimates I read was like the first issue of 3, and I was not happy with that, so I stopped reading it after 1 issue.
3 was not good. That was Jeff Loeb, though, so wasn't it?
Which is kind of weird. He writes decent DC stuff.
Jeff Loeb?
Just bad Marvel stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he wrote The Young Halloween, he wrote Dark Fist 3, he wrote Superman Batman for the first, 25 issues.
Did The Hush.
He did Hush, so he does.
Hush is not. I've gotten off Hush. I liked it at the time, and then I've read it recently. And I'm like, oh, it's one of those things. Where he tried to. Judd Winnick said something about this. That's why he did Batman Under the Hood, because it was such a cheat to make people think it's Jason Todd, and then be like, oh, no, it wasn't. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
I guess.
The whole thing, like, oh, it wasn't this guy. It wasn't this guy. Oh wait, no, it was this dude.
I don't think he ever should have been brought back, to be honest, but that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah, I would actually concur. But...
We could do a whole podcast about Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. I would be much more hateful on that one.
Okay, so, I mean, what Marvel ones have you seen? I've seen, because, I mean, I made it a point this year to watch every single animated feature from both companies.
Wow.
And some other ones, including Hellboy, and I think The Turtles Forever.
I saw
the Invincible Iron Man.
Invincible Iron Man, not that great.
Yeah, I heard that wasn't good. I saw Doctor Strange, it was okay.
Especially being that he doesn't really become Iron Man until like the last 20 minutes, and then he doesn't really wear the Iron Man armor. It's more like the the big metal tin one. I forget what it's called.
I watched it only a few months ago, and I honestly don't even remember half of it.
Doctor Strange is okay. Next Avengers actually surprised me. I actually enjoyed that one a lot. I like Hulk versus Wolverine. I know some people prefer Hulk versus Thor, but I thought that was crap.
I didn't see either of them.
Tell us how you really feel, man.
I don't want to sugarcoat it, but I mean,
it's their greatest animated feature they've done.
I still would go with Planet Hulk. I think Hulk, you know, it's big, it's brutal. It tells a decent story. Okay story. I don't like the whole spike things. That was kind of iffy.
There was way too much of a storyline to put into that short.
I mean, that happens on DC side as well, and they do a pretty decent job of condensing it. I guess since we're already talking about that, okay, one, New Frontier did not work in that format because of that.
Oh, they, come on. I love that. Okay, I like New I Front, like the series, the but I thought yeah, but I thought the movie was great. I think they nailed the tone.
Oh my, the movie was it was like a bunch of shorts thrown together, and
yeah, they
awesome. decided to put a plot at the end where there's a giant island attacking them.
Like Batman threatened Martian Manhunter. That was badass.
Yeah, and it's like a bunch of little scenes put together that doesn't really connect until the end, because it's like yeah, like you don't even see the time difference, like with Batman and his costume changes and getting Robin and all that other stuff. Like they explained it in the comics, where like he got Robin because he frightened that little kid he tried to rescue.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
he
it's
mentions
just like,
that.
He kind of does, but it's like you don't. It's like something that happened 15 minutes ago that they never touched on again.
Yeah.
And I just felt the end came out. Not that it came out of nowhere. It's just like it just felt like a bunch of mini ideas put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was usually connected. Yeah, so I did not like that one for that reason. What else? Superman Doomsday I actually enjoyed.
Oh, I didn't like that one. you know what? I saw that when I was in the hospital, and they showed it on Adult Swim. Or it was just Cartoon Network, not Adult Swim. But and I just remember twittering at the time, what is this? This isn't the death of Superman? What is this crap? They shouldn't have labeled it Superman Doomsday if they weren't going to do the Superman Death of Superman storyline. I'm all for adapting and changing stuff if you have to. That's true, but like they completely out of nowhere like changed some of the plot details for no reason other than oh we want to have this in there.
I think they just wanted to. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I haven't read the comic, but I think some like having a funeral, having the four Superman emerge. Would have been way too much for. I mean, they're yeah. forced into a time constraint. It's not like they say, "Oh, we want to make this, and we'll make it 2 hours long." Most of these things usually run 70 minutes.
I think they had to come up with something because trying to pack Reign of the Superman after Superman dies in there to get a conclusion out. Well, like,
yeah, they could have. They could have. But I think they could have done multiple movies then, which would have been.
Well, see, I don't think that I don't because this is the first one actually that they did.
Yeah, that was.
So, I mean, at the time, they didn't really have... I mean, they didn't even know if these would be successful.
No,
so.
Wasn't that their first PG-13 one, wasn't it?
It was the first it was the first in this direct-to-DVD series.
Yeah.
That didn't have anything to do with the animated
the
series.
Other cartoons, yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with Batman or Teen Titans or Superman.
Okay,
or
okay.
Justice League.
Even though, technically speaking, I don't think Brainiac Attack really relates to...
I was just looking at that going, what about that crap? That was a
it
piece
says
of crap.
Somewhat related
it's,
to Superman.
I think it's
the
same voices or something like that. Or it's the same animation style, different voices. But it's not really related.
No. You know what? That's the one thing that throws me about all these DC things is every time they like show Batman, I want to hear Kevin Conroy. Or Tim Daly doing Superman or whatever.
I do too because I love him. But I realize why they want to change it up because, you know, if they did it with Justice League Crisis on Tour, people are going to like, oh my gosh, it's a sequel to Justice League Unlimited. And, yes, I would have been one of those first people saying that.
Crisis on Two Earths was okay. I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
That's another thing that's a problem is I've read the story it's based on, and I thought if they'd just done that, it would have been cooler, too.
Well, you see, to me, I guess to me the bigger nerd moment is, to me, it fills in a gap between Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't officially do that.
Yeah.
You know, like most of the elements from the cartoon that aren't really explained when they make the transition are explained in this, like how Wonder Woman gets the invisible jet.
Mm-hmm.
Like why they recruit a bigger team, the new watchtowers, you know, and even at the start of the movie, there's no Hawkgirl on the team because she doesn't return until halfway through Unlimited and stuff like that. I enjoyed the crime syndicate. I always enjoy like an alternate superhero team, like the team in
the part of that was James Woods as the Owlman.
Owlman, yeah, like the team in A Better World.
He's such a bastard.
Yeah, even though I do not get his shot at, I mean, like if he destroys himself, what's the point?
It's nihilism. He prefers
That's
nothing
where he
was to.
At.
Yeah, he preferred nothing to existing.
He figured there was no point in existing, so why exist at all?
It reminds. I don't know if any of you have seen Turtles Forever, but Shredder Prime had that same idea, where he would destroy Turtle Prime and he'd be rid of the Turtles forever, but in the process he would kill himself, and he didn't think about that.
I'm sorry, all I can think of is the since I said nihilism, I got the whole stuff from Big Lebowski about nihilists running through my head. I mean, say what you will about the tenets of National Socialism, but at least it's an ethos.
So, I mean, I guess before we tackle the rest of the DC stuff, we might as well do the ones that were connected to TV shows. Mask of the Phantasm serves as the only one that's ever been released in theaters.
But, and the best one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's hands down the best.
Wait, hold on. I don't know, are we counting Return of the Joker?
Yes, we're counting Return of the Joker.
Return of the Joker might beat it.
Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker wins. Yeah,
they're definitely of equal measure if one is not better than the other.
I prefer Mask of the Phantasm partially because it doesn't rely on knowing Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has a more emotional plot, and I enjoy the origins, especially at the time being that was really the only origins. Because, I mean, the Burton movie didn't really touch on his origins. Yeah. Like, it showed his parents getting shot by the Joker, and that's pretty much it. Like, my thing with it is, like, you know, the movie gave him a chance for happiness, and it was taken away for, like, crime again, which is why he ultimately became who he became.
Yeah.
I love Return of the Joker. The other problem with Return of the Joker is the two versions, because I don't... If you watch the edited version, it's not as good as Mask of the Phantasm, so you have to see...
Oh, no.
The proper version, which isn't always, like, I know Netflix had it on Instant Stream, but it was the edited version.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, because I remember I had the DVD of the unedited one. I remember watching going, oh, wait, yeah.
So, it's always...
I haven't seen the full unedited version, but I did see, spoiler, the Joker's death scene on YouTube, the unedited one, which was much better.
Yeah, it's much better, because I think he shoots him with a... punching glove or something stupid.
It's one of those guns that has like the POW.
Yeah.
Pops out, and then it actually shoots it out of it like a spear gun.
Yeah, but in the other one, he doesn't shoot him with that.
No.
I don't think.
He gets electrocuted in the other one. Yeah. Off camera.
Yeah, so there's a lot of minor stuff. Like some of the fights are more violent in the uncut version.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, in the cut version, they add a seatbelt. The minor stuff ain't that. I guess the one in between, Sub-Zero.
That was actually good. I watched that not too long ago.
I think Sub-Zero benefits from me being that it was related to Batman and Robin, and it's such a better movie.
They drew Mr. Freeze really well in the series.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite Mr. Freeze, because the comic book can't even maintain that logic just because they want to reuse him so often.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he doesn't show up as much, but they don't, you know, like, with... the animated series, I believe he shows up in 4 episodes. No, he shows up in 3 episodes in this movie. So, and it's kind of sad to see his deterioration as he, you know, he's Mr. Freeze, and then the next time you see him, like, that guy's using him to try to get immortality, and then you see him in this movie, and then after this movie, the next time you see him, he's just a head.
Yeah.
So.
And isn't he in Batman Beyond at one point?
Yeah, he gets a body back, and again, it's somebody who's trying to use him. That has one of my favorite scenes where Batman dons the old costume and they play like a modern version of the Batman animated series theme.
Cool.
Mystery to Batwoman.
I haven't seen it. It's on my instant watch queue, though.
I got that when it came out. It's good because it's like the animated series, but it's not as good as the other ones.
I'm not a fan of it. I think it's one of those things. I think it's because it's like what you said with Hush, where it's like, oh, it's not this person, it's this person. No, it's not. And they take the cheapest route out of it with the mystery.
Where it's all three.
You're gonna ruin it for him.
Dude, he's 7 years old. I don't care.
But yeah, it turns out that the three people that have to be the bad guy are all the bad guy. They just do it at different times, which is like, really, that's the best you could come up with. So yeah, the whole once that. But it does have one of my favorite things. I don't know if anybody's seen it, Chase Me, which is like a 6-minute musical.
I got the DVD, but I still haven't watched that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. It's just, there's no words or anything. It's just like music, and it's like Batman chasing Catwoman. And it tells a fantastic story, I think. You could probably find it on YouTube. It's like 6 minutes long.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's probably on YouTube, people who want to pirate it.
Well, it's not pirate, it's YouTube. The Batman versus Dracula.
I actually saw that. It's funny.
It's very funny. It was a surprisingly good movie. I really enjoy it. You would think Batman taking on the Dracula would be a really cheesy cornball movie. And it does have its moments. But it's really dark at some points as well. Like, there's a scene where Joker takes like a blood bath. And you know, like, he's just covered in blood in this, like, library or something. Yeah. It's a really, and they have some awesome fights that take them, like, all throughout underground Gotham and finally into the Batcave. And the ending where he has, you know, like, he has him in his shadow of the Bat, that's awesome.
The problem with me with that is that it's the same problem I have with a lot of Batman stuff. I have such a specific idea of what and who Batman is that when it deviates from that, I get pissed off. And I'm like, Batman wouldn't fall for that. He's much more smarter than that.
Well, you know, I guess I'm open to Batman interpretations because I love that. And it's the same way, because I grew up with Adam West series. I grew up with Super Friends where he's like goofy and fun. And then there's like the Burton stuff, and then there's the animated series. And if you take all three of them, it's like three different versions of the same character. And they all work in their context. They're all enjoyable and fun. So it's like, you know, it's the same way I love Batman animated series, but I also love Batman Brave and the Bold. And there's no way those two can ever combine to be the same Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm open to interpretations. It's like any character. Everybody has their own say.
I'm open to that too. It's just the idea of, like, there's certain things that, like, you know, Batman's much too smart to fall for this or something like that.
My favorite was when he found out Alucard and he has to write the name down in lipstick on, like, a serving tray.
Didn't you want to scream, haven't you played Castlevania?
You would think Batman would figure out Alucard's Dracula. The guy studies everything else. He doesn't know names. Right, he should be able to do that in his head.
All right, guys, I have to run now.
I was gonna say I have to go too.
I gotta go now.
Is anybody like around in like an hour to finish this? So far, Marvel hasn't won any category.
Oh no, that's because Marvel doesn't have Batman. That's why.
Yeah.
Batman always wins.
Somehow he does.
So, were we up to, it was the Batman versus Dracula, right?
Yeah, that was where we left off.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, go. And we took our, let's go with the 5-minute break, even though it's like an hour and 15 minutes ago.
And that I guess we're, 5 minutes.
It happens, you know, you go to sit down, you read, and next thing you know, like 2 days have passed and you haven't finished this podcast.
It's the magic of
you podcast. You look outside, the world's ended.
Well, that does happen to me sometimes. Like, I'll be like, it'll be 10 in the morning, I'll be like, I'm just going to play Dragon Age for like an hour or two, and then it's 6 o'clock in the evening.
Those are my favorite type of games, where you just kind of lose yourself in there for, you don't want a game where you're reminded you're playing a game, and you're like, oh, it's half an hour, you'll probably go. Mm-hmm. It's usually, it's like, it's how I judge a good movie. It's like, if I'm sitting in a movie, checking my watch, like, really, do I have another hour to go in here? That's when I know it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit there and it's like 2 hours have passed and you haven't even noticed it, that's a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Or if you're Michael Bay, 2 hours is setting up your climax so you can go to Robot Heaven.
Is that a reference to a specific movie? Because I haven't seen Transformers 2.
Oh, okay. So I guess we're ruining a lot of movies for you today.
No, I don't care. I watched enough of it to be like, you know what? This isn't a movie for me.
Yeah, it's not
this
a movie for anybody.
This if movie's kind of racist.
If you have more than 2 like brain cells, I don't think you can enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
But, there is a... Not a scene, yeah. Optimus dies, like, early in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, yeah, like I said, I saw part of it. If Twitter went back that far, you could actually go back to that summer when I spent a good solid month just complaining about that movie.
Oh, there's so much to say about
that. And how much money it made.
Yeah, I think it's sad.
I think it's the only movie I ever left to go to the bathroom the first time seeing it because I was pretty bored. Like halfway through.
It was sad. I mean, the guy does nothing but action, but it defeats the purpose when you do nothing but action and there's, like, no semblance of a plot. So, Optimus dies, like, I guess, like, 40 minutes into the movie. And, like, an hour is spent with the humans and, I guess, a few of the robots trying to get to this place to, like, bring him back to life or whatever. And this is setting up the climax. And the climax, it's, like, a 2.5-hour movie. The climax starts, like, an hour in. And at some point, he gets the Allspark, and Shia Booth's character goes to Robot Heaven, where he meets, like, the robot elders, and they're able to bring Optimus back to life. and it sounds about as ridiculous as I can, as that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I remember, I didn't see the movie opening day because I wasn't that interested in it. I remember my friend came back from it, and the first thing he said to me is, "There's a robot heaven." Like, what are you talking about? He's like, "There's a robot heaven. Just see the movie and you'll understand."
Well, I love that. My favorite movie website is chud.com. And there was an editorial on the site right after the movie came out where the one writer just kept, like, for a good half of the essay's runtime, just kept saying the robot has a beard.
Nice. No, we can have a whole discussion on how awful they've ruined the Transformer series with those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the first one, but the second one is pretty bad.
See, the first one's good fun. I wouldn't put it as a good movie. It's kind of like, usually that one movie I consider like a popcorn movie. Like, yeah. Last year it was G.I. Joe for me. Like, G.I. Joe, I don't think...
Oh, I love that movie. I love G.I. Joe.
I don't think it's a great movie by any definition, but for a movie you sit down to enjoy yourself for 2 hours, there's few better.
Oh, it's retarded. It's a retarded movie. Yeah, but that's why I love it so much.
And I love the color scheme and everything. But yeah, it's kind of like I saw the commercials and it just looked awful. But it's one of those movies.
I watched it and I just had a good time because I was laughing at how bad it was.
You see, I don't think it's bad because you have to. G.I. Joe isn't that great to begin with, and I'm sure some people are going to send me hate mail for it. But I mean, the concept's pretty out there as it is.
The other podcast I'm on, About 12 Minutes, we did an episode on it was actually District 9 and G.I. Joe, and in that episode I called G.I. Joe the best Star Wars movie since 1983, and I stand by that.
Nice.
I explained to my friend the reason you should see this movie is there's ninjas with jetpacks.
Yes, and I mean, like the power suits, which they made a big deal out of during the commercials and advertisements, are in the movie for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's literally like one scene.
But it had some great fight scenes. It had some really over-the-top characters. It's colorful. It's bright. It's fun. I recommend it. And I guess G.I. Joe and Mattel wins this round.
Yeah, apparently.
But I guess we left off with Batman versus Dracula.
Yep.
We talked about Brainiac Attacks, and as I said about that, the better. Has anybody seen the Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo?
They run it on Cartoon Network almost every weekend, it seems like.
Oh.
It's good.
I've seen it on Instant Stream. It's a good thing. It's a good movie. I've never been too keen on the whole style of the series, though.
Yeah. It's very specific aesthetic they're going for.
Yeah.
What would you call the aesthetic of Teen Titans Go? My girlfriend's very knowledgeable in anime, so I'm asking her. Yeah, Teen Titans Go. Yeah, the one they had, like, the Trouble in Tokyo movie.
Oh.
She's thinking.
Okay.
It's like an anime-like type animation.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Guess what she just said? It's like pseudo-anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting style, and I guess it works. But it always made the show seem a little, kiddish, I guess. I never like using that, because, I mean, as a whole, cartoons tend to be aimed at children.
It's kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just never, I'm curious to see how Young Justice works out. But I guess we could save that for when we discuss the animated series mm-hmm. of comic books. Trouble in Tokyo, good times. I like the part where Beast Boy, I think it is, who sings the theme song in like that karaoke bar.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, and I honestly can't remember much else about the movie. I know that the bad guy ends up being like the cop.
Yep.
And yeah, that's about it. So, yeah, I don't think that's the best recommendation for a movie.
No, it's fun. It's a fun little movie.
This is a tough one. Batman Gotham Knight.
I haven't seen that. That's probably the only Batman related thing with the Christopher Nolan movies I haven't seen.
I got it before I saw The Dark Knight, I think. I think it came out like a couple weeks before.
I did.
I did.
It was alright, but didn't really fit well with the Christopher Nolan movies or the cartoons. So they had like Kevin Conroy, but it was supposed to be Nolan style.
That was one of the most jarring things for me, is that because it's like an anime compilation where it's like six or seven different anime studios, is that the Kevin Conroy voice doesn't really mesh with some of the designs, especially when they go with the younger Bruce Wayne. Yeah. So it was kind of jarring hearing his voice coming out of some of those characters. As a whole, like,
it's a concept, like, in terms of, like, the presentation they did before with, like, the Animatrix.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, which worked better with the Matrix because that there's not, like, a central, one central character they had to focus on.
Yeah. And, yeah, as a whole, I don't like that. I don't like it. I think most of the stories are weak or they don't spend enough time on it. And I think the different art styles, there's too many that I'm not a fan of to care as a whole for the package.
Yeah.
Like I said, the voice acting is jarring for me, which is odd coming from Kevin Conroy, but it's the one Batman he's been that just doesn't work with his voice. And I think it's because I'm accustomed to his Bruce being older and wiser. And this is like, you know, the Dark Knight Batman Begins, where he's, you know, still relatively new on the job and stuff. And there are scenes where he looks really young.
Yeah.
So, I mean, check it out if you're a huge fan of the Nolan films, but I don't really care for it.
It might be on my Netflix queue. I don't remember. There's a lot of things on my Netflix queue I'm not going to get.
I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's sad, my friend. What is it? Yeah, I always ask for a recommendation from a Netflix queue, and I usually don't get these movies until like 4 or 5 months down the line. Like, I just got Swimming with Sharks. And I could not remember who the hell recommended it to me. So it was a good movie, but I didn't know who to say thanks to when I started. So I'm like, I just put it on Facebook. I'm like, whoever recommended this movie to me was enjoyable, so thank you. But I can't remember who recommended it to me.
I'm going to recommend a movie to you now. It's on Instant Watch, though. So you don't have to, you know, mail and wait for it. It's called Bronson.
Does it have Charles Bronson in it?
No, it's just straight up called Bronson. It's about a real dude whose fighting name was Charlie Bronson, but it's completely not about Charles Bronson. It stars the guy who, did you see Inception?
Yeah.
It stars the dude who was the forger.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it up already.
It's the movie's insane. Like, if you like The Clockwork Orange, it's that style. Like, very, very, like,
that's a very dark and...
Yeah. It's very violent, very funny, very, I'm trying to think of another word.
Morbid?
Profane. There's a lot of profanity in it. It's just a strange, bizarre, great little movie.
So, has anybody seen Wonder Woman?
No.
I did not get around to that.
Wow. I
just didn't care. I don't care about Wonder Woman at all.
Wow, I have to say, it is my favorite of the recent batch, not the ones like Mask of the Phantasm, Return of the Joker, but of like the straight to video ones that are non related to anything. It's probably the best one they have so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be because I don't have that level of interest in Wonder Woman, so it's interesting to see a story that does so well in a way that I actually enjoy. And, I mean, not that it really matters, but I also have to have a DVD copy that I'm supposed to be giving away at some point. Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. Has some awesome fights, especially the end with Ares. It's done well. You know, it's not overly, you know, because sometimes people have a tendency to make Wonder Woman like this huge feminist character where she's, like, fighting for women's rights and stuff like that. And, like, men are evil and stuff like, I mean... You still end up with Ares, but, and a woman who betrays her, but as a whole, I think it's worth checking out. It's one of my favorites.
Alright.
There was, I don't know if anyone saw it, there was a Superman Batman one last September.
Public Enemies.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that one either?
No, I've heard it's good though. My friend was supposed to get it to me on DVD, he did not.
The best thing I can tell you about that movie is to approach it, if you know the comic book, approach it like that, because it is based off of the comic book and it has the same shortcomings that the comic book has.
Well, it was written by Jeff Loeb, so there you go.
Yeah, So there are some
callbacks earlier when we were talking about him.
Yeah, there are some things in there that don't work, but as a whole, like, for what it is, it's pretty much a big fight movie. It's just like when it, I mean, this plot is paper thin. There's a kryptonite meteor coming to Earth, and somehow they tie it into Superman going crazy. So, Luthor's president at this time, and he somehow sets in motion some plans to take down Superman. Batman joins him, and then it's like 50 minutes of him just beating the crap out of random people in the DC universe.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get behind that.
But. Yeah, it's a great concept if you go in with that mentality. If you don't go in, just skip ahead. The last three movies. Okay. Public Enemies, Crisis on Two Earths, and Batman Under the Red Hood are all excellent movies for different reasons. Like, Superman Batman to me is an awesome big fight movie. With Justice League, it's kind of like that meta movie where you have, like, you know, over the parallel universes, but you also have a villain who just sees no good in humanity at all and wants to throw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Under the Red Hood's like a really personal and emotional story with the return of Jason Todd and, you know, like Batman's biggest shortcoming.
It's another one I've yet to see, but that's going to be on Instant Watch October 1st, so I'll be watching it then.
So, yeah.
We skipped over a couple.
No, I was just pointing out the three of those, but
yeah.
Actually, when you watch Under the Red Hood, if you want, you can come back and we'll do an episode on that, because I would love to talk more about that movie.
Watch that again. We can.
But yeah, it's, I mean, Public Enemy, good times. I know it's not everybody's a fan. I love Ed McGuinness's style.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those people who draws a comic book that can actually, I kind of imagine comic books to be big, over-the-top characters. Because, I mean, his characters are nothing but muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles.
Yeah, it's very stylized looking.
Yeah, and it translates
not like in that Rob Liefeld fashion.
Oh, man. And it translates really well to animation. So, it looks great. The movie's good. It has an awesome score. It's one of the few scores I've actually downloaded. I mean, purchased. For these movies. So, yeah, it's worth checking out.
The sequel comes out next week, doesn't it?
Yeah, the sequel comes out next week, which is, again, I borrowed that from the internet. It's a good time. It's the first one that's a direct sequel to anything, and they tie that in at the beginning of the movie with, there's like radio voiceovers that pretty much tells you the events of, like, Public Enemies and stuff. I don't want to talk about it because I'm assuming neither one of you have seen it.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
So, I was going to download it the other day. I just didn't.
Yeah. Before people get on my case, I download these things because I can't wait to see them. But I own all of them on DVD or Blu-ray, so it's not like I pirate them and don't pay these people later on. But it came out 2 weeks ago. I had it pre-ordered on Amazon since, like, June. So I'll get it. I don't want people jumping down my throat on that. I guess to back up a few movies, Green Lantern First Sight. Has anybody seen that one?
I have seen that.
What are your thoughts?
It was fun. It wasn't, like, amazing. It wasn't terrible. It was just kind of there. It was good. I liked Sinestro in it quite a bit. But I do like that they didn't do this long, drawn-out origin for Green Lantern, though. Like, that they just kind of, like, got it out of the way, and then just, like, oh, wait, there, he's in space. Go for it.
Yeah, you see, that's actually one of the, I guess, it's the, I mean, again, it's one of those things where it's, like, a 70-minute movie. But, yeah, he's a Green Lantern within, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, so I like that. I don't like that every single one seems to have to, that they always have to have this long, drawn-out, Green Lantern doesn't have a huge, long, drawn-out origin. It basically is what is in the movie. Spaceship crashes, he finds the dude with the ring, and then he's Green Lantern.
Well, somehow Geoff Johns managed to make it like a 7-issue miniseries, so.
Yeah, well, you talk about Rebirth or the Secret Origin one?
Secret Origins.
Yeah, well, that was just because he had to set up all his other stories that he wanted to do.
It was a good story.
Yeah, hopefully the movie doesn't drought out, though.
I think it's decent. I think it's one of the middle ground movies where it's okay.
Yeah, it was fun. It owed a lot to Star Wars, again. Like, there was a lot of Star Wars in that movie.
I didn't like the whole, like, Sinestro battling with a planet thing, or how who removed, like, two moons out of orbit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's okay. I think we briefly touched on this, and just to see Crisis on Two Earths.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about it, yeah.
Anything anybody wants to add?
It was fun. It was just a fun one in the movie. I think if they had done the actual book they were adapting, I would have liked it more. That's because I love everything Grant Morrison does.
So. I was curious because, it's not based off of a comic. I assume it has history in it.
It is. But, it's directly based off a comic.
Oh, okay. Because originally it was supposed to be, it still has the elements, but originally it was supposed to be a movie for the Justice League cartoon. So I thought it was more based off of they did a lot of the Crime Syndicate stuff on the cartoon. Like they had, The Better World. They had, damn it, what's the episode? It's like the one, it's not that Justice Society episode, I guess. I can't remember the name of it.
I don't know.
It's stuff like that. So, they've always dabbled in, alternate universe stories. It was nice to see, pure evil versions of them, and not, versions of these characters who just kind of morphed into being evil beings, in A Better World.
But you mentioned earlier on Twitter you like Frank Quitely, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a graphic novel, one shot, called JLA Earth 2, that they did, that's where the basic storyline was taken from, about the alternate Earth with the crime syndicate and the good Luther and all that stuff. It's was Morrison and Quitely doing that. That's very good.
A minor thing, since I didn't even notice, but Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, and then Justice League Crisis on Two Earths were out back-to-back. What do you think of Luther's green suit and his, because Earth 2 Superman, Luther wears that gold suit.
No, I thought it was cool.
Do you like the supervillain green suit he wears? That power suit?
Oh, yeah. That's one of those, I make no bones about the reason I like comic books is they can be just completely ridiculous sometimes. And I like when they go big and crazy, now there's a giant robot or something like that. Like the fact that, of course Lex Luthor would have a powered armor suit with lasers and all whatever he wants to do. There's a kryptonite in the chest or whatever. Of course he would. He's Lex Luthor. He's an evil genius and he's insane.
And that has one, it gives Superman one of my favorite lines where he punches him in the chest and he's consider yourself impeached.
Yeah.
And there's so many lines that if it was said in any other context would just be awful. But in a comic book, that's gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the last one would be Under the Red Hood, which is right now, it's up there with Wonder Woman for me. It's probably the second best one I've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a second or first. It's kind of hard to tell. I don't like to rate things. It's only been out for a month and a half, which I guess 2 months now.
Yeah, about that.
So it's hard to... Yeah. So, but it's an awesome story. I honestly think it's better than the comic book.
I haven't got around to reading that yet.
Yeah, I haven't read that story. I don't like Judd Winnick as a writer that much. So I tend to avoid stuff he's written.
I was going to say, this is what got, I gained new respect for him after seeing this movie and then realizing that he's writing. Currently, I love Justice League, Generation Lost, which he's writing, and he wrote Superman Batman 76 yesterday, which was the, how Clark Superman, whatever you want to call him, dealt with Bruce Wayne's death.
Mm-hmm.
So,
quote-unquote death.
Well, that and the other thing is, it's a nice story to tell. It's also kind of weird that they're telling it 2 years after the guy's died, and we already know he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice story. We had this discussion on Twitter earlier here about the one shots, and you thought my picks were odd, but it's those stories that stick with me.
Mm-hmm. I want to make clear, I was not passing judgment on you or anything, saying, "Oh, your things are your choices are bad, and you should feel bad." But they weren't Superman and Batman 26. I've read that's the Sam Loeb issue, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that was one that's I respected it as an idea. But I just thought it was too disjointed and all over the place to be a good issue, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess the thing is, from what I remember of it, and it's been a while since that, is that it's this, it's the same concept where Robin's dealing with the death of Connor after Infinite Crisis, and it's comic books there's a lot of deaths, but you don't often. It's another one shot I'm a huge fan of is the one, the Civil War Confession,
mm-hmm.
where Iron Man's talking to Captain America after he gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like those type of stories, because, I mean, deaths in comic books happen all the time, and, I mean, you know, at this point, most of them consider it a joke. Like, they'll say, oh, he'll be back, you know, we're here too often, and it's kind of nice to see, like, you know, some of these characters do take it personally, because they had great relationships, and for me, it was like, I came into comic books, one of the first stories I read was Young Justice, which was, like, Connor, Robin, Impulse, Wonder Girl, and stuff like that. So they had a real bond, a real relationship, real friendship, and I think that was a nice cap to it. And it's the same way with, it's similar to how I enjoy Brave and the Bold 33, in that it's a story that's been told, and you know how it ends, but it's nice to see a different side of it where it doesn't ruin the original story.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people have a tendency to go back to the stories because they want to improve it. Where this one did improve it, but it never touched the core story.
Yeah.
And that was a nice little tangent. So I think we discussed like all five of the Marvel ones, which were there. Can we just wrap this up to DC being better in this regard?
Oh yes.
I think that is
without question.
So, I mean, going forward, what do you want to see from either company? Like, are there any graphic novels or stories you would like to see produced?
Well, I'm excited for All-Star Superman. I actually watched the trailer during the break because I hadn't seen it yet. I just knew of the existence of it, and it excited me because that's one of my favorite comics of all time.
It's probably my favorite Superman story right now.
Very excited.
I'd like to see an Iron Man movie based off some of the Matt Fraction issues from recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How many of them have you read? Have you read, like, the whole series, or did you come in with, like, a specific part of it?
Came in 25, and then I got volume 1, so I've read 15 of them.
Oh, you started with the Disassembled. Cool. I haven't read that yet.
I got the
Omnibus. Yeah, a few months ago. Have you guys remember the Amazon glitch thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I got that.
You actually got it?
Yeah, I was just like one of the late. What this is? I fucked over Amazon. I got the I think it was like a $75 thing for
$8, $10.
Yeah. It ended up being $8 and change. And wow. I also got the credit that they sent to people because they didn't send them the books. So. I got double credit.
I remember that day. It was so sad. Like, everybody was just like, oh, you know what? I've never read this before, but it's $10. Might as well. I had so many omnibuses in my cart. So sad when they canceled it all.
What's even funnier is I got so mad because the one thing I wanted wasn't on, like, the discount list, which was Immortal Iron Fist.
Omnibus,
because I ended up getting all the trades anyway, but that's an amazing series as well.
Yeah, I would like to see, I know it's going to be difficult, it probably wouldn't be good to do in one movie, but I would love to see The Long Halloween adapted in some format.
Oh, yeah.
That would actually work as a miniseries, I think.
I was going to say, if they did it, because I think what they wanted to do is, originally it was supposed to be a movie for the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, the Batman was supposed to have Hush as a movie, and that never took off. The Young Halloween, I don't think they could do in 70 minutes, and they would try to force it. But yeah. I could see it if they kind of did a serial building up to the next Batman movie. But
the problem is they used a lot of elements from that and from Dark Victory in Begins and Dark Knight.
All the mob stuff. On Halloween, especially like the Harvey Dent. Commissioner Gordon Batman relationship is built off of. I mean, that rooftop scene's taken directly out of Halloween.
Like that phrase, "I believe in Harvey Dent." That's from that.
But yeah, I would like to see Bruce Tim tackle it. I just don't know the proper format for it because I don't want it to be a single movie, and I don't think they do sequels, and I don't know how you would fit that up other than making it like a mini, where it's like you know, like you do an episode a month or whatever.
You know what I want to see, actually, when I think about it? And this would be, they could probably do it as one movie, and it would be insane, is do the Sinestro Corps War.
I could see that, because they're coming out with a new Green Lantern cartoon.
Yeah.
So I would assume, at some point, it's no way you can do a Green Lantern cartoon anymore without they're water rings. You can't not touch on all those rings now.
Yeah.
And like, I think that would be an awesome season one finale.
Yeah, and well, not even finale. Just do, like, set it all up in the series itself. Like,
yeah,
have all the lead up in it, and then have the movie as a separate entity from it.
Well, I could see it being something like Starcross, where it's like a three-part episode.
I could do that.
Like, they build it up throughout the season, and then it's like this three-part epic finale.
Yeah, and then the second season would be all the aftermath of it, and the finale of that would be Blackest Night. Yeah, yeah, that would be hot.
I mean, it's not... The thing is... I mean, I guess they can handle it their own. It's the thing is, like, DC Animation doesn't really do a job of adapting comic book stories to their cartoon series.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about that when we do the animated segment episode at this point. But yeah, that's one of the things that Marvel did with their 90s cartoon. It's like a lot of them were based off of existing comic book stories, especially with X-Men, where it's like everything was like an arc from the comic book.
Like they did Days of Future Past and Dark Phoenix and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I've actually been watching that recently. I bought all five seasons. It's still pretty good.
I had the first four. I need to get the fifth one.
I don't own any of them because, I don't know, I watched it like a year ago on TV. And I'm like, this doesn't hold up as well as I remember.
No, it doesn't. A lot of things don't, but I enjoy. I own the original Ninja Turtle series. Which does not hold up at all.
You know what does hold up? Batman.
What? Oh, Batman holds up well. Yeah. I don't know. I think the whole DC line holds up well. But that goes back to the point where DC always had Warner backing them, whereas Marvel had like 15 different companies, which is why you don't see Spider-Man the Animated Series on DVD yet. It's because it's owned by like two or three different companies.
I also think part of it is not necessarily the ownership, but the creative philosophy behind it. Like Batman the Animated Series had a specific vision, and there were specific creators doing it, and they were in charge. Like with Paul Dini and Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett, they were the ones running it. There wasn't a whole lot of people. I think with Spider-Man and X-Men, there's a whole bunch of different people involved, and like the people came in and out and. So that kind of creatively was all over the map.
Yeah. We can touch on. But like X-Men with the final season where it's just like they just went through a budget cut where the animation quality dropped big time. And like everybody got a redesign. It was not a great ending for that show.
Yeah. It went down. Well, I'm not quite finished, but it's hang on.
So, next year DC has All-Star Superman, Green Lantern, Emerald Knights, and Batman Year One. I'm actually kind of excited for Batman Year One.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. That would be interesting. What is the date on All-Star Superman? Does it say here? Let me look.
February or March.
February, awesome. Holy shit, Christina Hendricks is Lois Lane. Awesome.
I think, yeah, because the next one DC is doing, and it's not on this list, but... It's like, I guess we can finish on this, is the shorts. I don't know if you've seen those.
I've heard of, not seen them.
Yeah, they started with Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, which had the Spectre short, and then continued Under the Red Hood, which has the Jonah Hex short, which in 10 minutes is much better than the movie they put out this year.
Which is going to be...
And then Superman Batman Apocalypse has a Green Arrow short. And then in November, they're doing a compilation of the shorts, and then they're adding a Superman Shazam short. So it's like the three shorts they already have, and then this new one, which is like 20 minutes on one disc. So that's the next release. But the shorts are really, and it's sad to say, but even those are of better quality than the Marvel stuff. Yeah. The Spectre stuff is done in done in a 70s animation style, which is awesome. It has like this nice film filter on it, and it tells a nice short story. Jonah Hex, even though I'm really getting sick of the color orange because of video games, orange and brown. It looks nice. Again, tells a nice short story. Gives you all you need to know about Jonah Hex and his world. I don't know what to expect from the Green Arrow one. But I can't wait to check it out next week.
Yeah.
So, is there anything you gentlemen want to add before we call it a wrap?
I'd like to call back to when we were talking about the Sinestro Corps. It actually says here under unannounced projects, Dan DiDio has expressed interest in seeing it adapted.
Yeah, but
so we'll be seeing it at some point, I'm thinking.
Well, one part of the thing, and it, we noticed, and this is a problem, it's like, it's pretty much been Batman and Superman alternating now.
Yeah. Well, that's where the bread and butter is.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, it's not, they can't make money outside of those two properties. And I think that, as a whole, is DC's problem, is they don't know how to expand their base.
Look at the grosses on this thing. It says the two highest three highest grossing ones were Superman Doomsday, Batman Gotham Knight, and Superman Batman Public Enemies.
Yeah. So
Under the Red Hood, which has only been out since end of July, has actually done better than Crisis on Two Earths already.
That is interesting. I'm surprised.
Well, it's branding. Yeah. Like, people are familiar. Like, yeah. You know, the average person walks by and sees Crisis on Two Earths. They're like, who the fuck is that? They see Batman. They're like, Batman. I like Batman.
But as I said, they see Justice League on the cover. You'll see Superman. You'll see Batman. You'll see Wonder Woman. You'll see Green Lantern. And it's like, ooh, it's all my favorites in one thing. I mean, that's what I would have said as a kid. Well, not ooh, but yeah. I would have said, oh, no. I can either get the one with just Batman, or I can get the one with all these heroes on it. And I would get the one with all the heroes.
That's why we're awesome and normal people aren't.
I think we're
But also, like, the Wonder Woman one did horrible. Well, not horrible. I think eventually it ended up making a profit. But whereas the Superman and Batman movies tend to make a profit within the first month, Wonder Woman had to crawl to that price.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's made $5,992,462. Wow, that is a very specific number.
Yes, it is. Like, how do you keep, like, do you double check them? Because, like, some of these I don't buy them at full price, because usually with, like, Under the Red Hood, you can get for $13 right now.
Yeah.
On buy.com. Thank you for that plug. Yeah, most of these you can get, like, I got Green Lantern for $10 on Blu-ray. So they drop in price pretty quick. So, like, is somebody keeping track of that? Like,
they would have to. Well, they have specific unit costs too, so they could just divide, multiply units sold by whatever the unit cost is. Like, I'm looking at this thing; it has units sold next to the grosses as well, and you could see that even though Gotham Knight only sold under 400,000, it still has made more than Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, which is. Sold 459,000.
Interesting.
So obviously they had a higher price tag because of the movie connection.
Attachment to them. Yeah.
All the artists working on it.
So
financial stuff. So that was the word I was going to say in mid sentence.
So this was a bad episode for Marvel fans. We've concluded that DC beats them in movies, video games, and. Animated movies.
I stood up for Marvel in movies at least, so.
I mean, it's not that Marvel has a terrible output, it's just that they don't have, they're all over the place, they don't know how to focus on something.
Yeah.
We
haven't had to either. DC,
I mean, they're doing a better job with output in the movies, it's just that they're outputting so much of them that They didn't really start quality controlling, so they started bringing it under their hatch. Like, I mean, since they started doing their own movies, like Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, those have been good movies, where before it was like Fox is doing X-Men, and that's been hit or miss. Sony's doing Spider-Man, and they did whatever they did with 3. I think Fox is doing Fantastic Four as well.
Yeah.
So, and they have such odd contracts because they want these movies made that as long as they continue making movies, I believe, they can't get those back. So as long as I think there's a Spider-Man movie in production, Sony has the rights to Spider-Man. As long as there is a Fantastic Four X-Men movie in production, Fox has the rights to those. Which is why you see stuff like X-Men First Class, is because after a while, they would have to revert the rights back to Marvel and Disney.
Yeah. Hey, you want to have a newsflash? Reading online right now. Coming soon is word that Kevin Feige has discussed the possibility of having Scarlett Johansson, reprise her character of Natasha Black Widow Romanoff in a solo adventure sometime not too long after the Avengers movie comes out.
That's not surprising.
He talked about a press conference for the Iron Man 2 Blu-ray DVD. that they're already putting concepts together for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Marvel, I mean, I guess it doesn't really need, but it doesn't have anything announced after the Avengers. But I would assume Iron Man, like, everybody would continue with their own.
Yeah, Iron Man 3 is hasn't been quote-unquote announced, but I know it's on. They want to do it. And, I mean, come on, Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, Scarlett Johansson in a tight cat suit.
I'm surprised they haven't started mentioning about doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Samuel L. Jackson has said that he's, like, mentioned that he's signed up for one.
But I don't know if he's getting that confused with the Avengers movie.
Yeah, it could be. He's not exactly...
Let's be honest. Samuel L. Jackson probably doesn't look at his contracts. He'll sign for whatever movie.
Dude, he's signed up for 9 movies. That contract he signed to be Nick Fury has 9 movies on it.
He's already done, what, 3 of them?
He's done... No, because he wasn't in Hulk.
All right, yeah, so he's done 2.
He's done 2. And then I'm assuming he'll be in...
Captain America,
if not Thor. Because Thor, I'm not sure if he'll be in or not, because they got... What's-his-face is, like, in... Going on with that.
In Coulson.
Yeah. But I assume he'll make a cameo in it.
Perhaps.
And then I think they want to do an Ant-Man movie at some point, or Edgar Wright wants to anyway.
He's been working on it forever. It's just a matter of when they're going to let him do it.
This is where comic books start to... there's some properties that I don't think would really make a movie that people want to see. And I think they should work on their core characters. Like, Ant-Man's probably a celebrity minister right now.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I want to bring up, I don't really know where to fit it in earlier. They said a while back that they were looking into, like, a Punisher TV series, something that would be in the same universe.
No!
They should make
Punisher Warzone Part 2. He kills even more people without speaking.
Now, what would the... I would assume this would have to be like a cable show, like HBO or something.
Yeah, I'd assume HBO.
I can't imagine like a Punisher show on NBC.
And I don't think they should.
He just kind of pushes them around.
Yeah, it's that's another thing we could talk on with the Marvel animation is like the fact they don't punch people.
Yeah.
Except the whole.
Yeah, planet. Well, he has to punch people.
It's past.
So, okay, that's 3 for DC and none for Marvel. We're sorry, Marvel. We still love you.
Sorry, Marvel fans. You can suck it. What?
I do not endorse that message.
I'm not. I don't either, actually. I'm not biased towards either company. So.
I never get... I mean, I understand having a personal preference. It's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if you like something, that means you have to automatically dislike.
Exactly. That's why I don't understand that.
That's the problem I have.
Mentality at all.
Yeah. Just because I prefer DC doesn't mean I hate Marvel.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't even prefer either company. I just prefer writers. So, hey, Grant Morrison's writing for DC. Cool. I'm reading a lot of DC stuff.
When he was writing X-Men,
I was reading a lot of Marvel stuff.
And this is something I'll get into with the animation, but most of my comic book knowledge comes from the fact that I was, you know, like these cartoons, and it's like these characters I just watched an episode of Batman Brave and the Bold, which dealt with Doom Patrol, and now I want to read the Doom Patrol comics.
Oh, you should read the Morrison run on that, actually.
But I want to read the original. I don't want to ruin the episode because it hasn't aired in the States. Again, I borrowed stuff from the internet. But, yeah, it got me interested in Doom Patrol. And it's the same thing with Booster Gold, where I got interested in him from that episode of Justice League Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And Hulk and Dove was the opposite, where I saw them in a Carson and I didn't want anything to do with those characters.
It's because they suck.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sorry, but those are awful powers.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think we are almost at the, I want to say 2-hour mark, which cannot be right. But
it was like an hour and a half before, and now it's at 45 minutes. But that was also including, like, you know, lead-up time.
Prep time. But I think we recorded like an hour beforehand. So that's going to be fun to edit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Enjoy yourself.
As always, I can never promise when these things will come out. So that's the one good thing. We haven't set up a schedule yet of when these things are released. So as long as I get free time, I can usually do it within a day, but it could be Saturday, it could be next week sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to have you folks back next week where we can finish this up and talk about comic book cartoons and, sure, I guess, TV shows.
Sure enough. Just have to figure out a day to do it.
Okay. So, thank you for joining us for this long edition of Nerds on the Rocks. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye.